no other name like the name of Jesus. Give Jesus some praise. Hallelujah. Everybody had the absolute right to lose their mind at that point, because there is no one like Jesus. Hallelujah. Maybe it's just me, but there is no one like Jesus. I'm looking over here and I'm seeing my sister who was in a car wreck last Sunday. There is no one like Jesus. That could have been her life, y'all. And she's here, God. She's here. There is no one like Jesus. Hallelujah. It might just be me today. That's fine. I give all praise, honor, and glory to my Father in heaven, because I'm telling you, if it wasn't for him, I would not be here, because a few weeks ago, I just didn't know if I was going to have another chance. So I give him all praise, honor, and glory. There is no one like Jesus. Give honor to our pastor in his absence, thanking him for this opportunity. I do not take this assignment light at all, because it is not a light assignment. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, the most precious name, Jesus. God, we thank you for your son, Jesus, who died for us. God, we thank you for loving us in spite of us. We thank you, God, for keeping us in spite of us. God, we thank you for loving us in spite of us. God, we thank you for being God and God all by yourself. We thank you for everything that has taken place in this service. And we thank you for the word that is to come. God, we thank you for everything that you're going to do. We're going to thank you for the chains being broken, the hearts being restored. We just thank you for what you're going to do in this service today, God. And we give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Give God some praise. So we are talking about community. And I'm going to give you guys community part 5. I know Pastor has been teaching us about this community thing. And Laressa was all up in my business this morning, so y'all have heard some of my sermon already. And no, we did not plan it. No, we have not talked. That's just how this Holy Spirit works. So we have been on this journey of learning what community is and should be, and how we as believers help to create community, having a common belief and a common goal. So, y'all know me. It's pre-K time. Y'all ready? I need y'all to sing a little song with me. If you know it, you should know this song. It's pretty old. Have you ever heard the song The Ants Go Marching? All right, we're going to sing that this morning. Okay? I need y'all help. All right? The ants go marching one by one, hurrah, hurrah. The ants go marching one by one, hurrah, hurrah. The ants go marching one by one. The little one stops to suck his thumb, and they all go marching down to the ground to get out of the rain. Boom, 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 boom. Y'all know that song? Well, y'all know it goes on. And the little one still gets distracted all the time, right? He gets distracted all the time. You know, he was sucking his thumb on number one, and he was tying his shoe on number two, and he was climbing the tree on number three. Did you ever notice after the little one got distracted, another one was added to the crew? Now, all the rest of them, they just marching, right? But this little one, he gets distracted, and he goes and does something else. I believe that the reason there was more added is that the little one, when he got distracted, saw another ant and said, come on, let's go. So he's climbing a tree because he got distracted on number three. And he saw another ant on the tree and he said, hey, we over here. And they all go marching down to the ground to get out of the rain. He just saved a life. Community is like that little ant. We may see others getting distracted, or we ourselves might be distracted. But in your distraction, there might be someone else that you need to go and say, come on. Come on. I need you to come with me. And eventually, they get to number 10, and the little one says, that's the end. Because we got all of them. We all together. We all here. Think about that. The major part of community is unity. If you look at the word community, the major part of it is unity. And I know Pastor's been saying that we have to protect the unity of unity. So I'm going to give you a few definitions that I found of unity. And there is quite a bit of them. Unity, in Latin, unitas. The first definition that I found was the state of being, oneness. Unity may consist of a simple substance or existing being as the soul, but usually it consists in a close conjunction of particles or parts, constituting a body detached from other bodies. Unity is a thing undivided itself, but separate from every other thing. Did y'all catch that? Unity is undivided itself, but it's separate from every other thing. Unity is undivided itself, but it's separate from every other thing. The spiritual unity is undivided, but it's separated from the world, set apart from every other thing. That's what unity is. All right? Unity also can be described as an agreement, uniformity, as unity of doctrine, unity of worship in a church. In Christian theology, oneness and sentiment, affection or behavior. Unity of faith is equal, is an equal belief of the same truths of God and possessions of the grace of faith in like form and degree. Unity of spirit is the oneness which subsists between Christ and his saints, by which the same spirit dwells in both. And both have the same disposition and aim. They talking about Jesus and us. The same disposition and aim. And it is the oneness of Christians among themselves, united under the same head, which is God, having the same spirit dwelling within them, which is the Holy Spirit, and possessing the same graces, faith, hope, and love. In Greek, unity is henosis, and it means oneness and union. Unity stands for peace in the presence of conflict, love in the presence of hatred, and forgiveness in the presence of injury. Unity honors the many names for God, the many paths to God, the many ways to worship God, for there is only one power and presence of God, and that God loves each one of us equally. Amen. He loves each one of us equally. He didn't say, I love you because you ain't been into this, or I love you because you ain't been into that. He said, I love each one of you equally. That's a powerful type of love, y'all. So today, I want to share what I believe is a key ingredient to creating community, and that is love. One of the major things missing in our community and in our world right now is unconditional love. It's missing. That's why people can get up and go and just shoot everybody up. There is a lack of love. So, I got one more song for y'all. Y'all might judge me for this song. When I was a little girl, I liked this show with this big purple dinosaur. And his name was Barney. And yeah, I got talked about because I love me some Barney. And guess what? My room was decorated in Barney. And I ain't ashamed of it. But there was this one song on Barney that I just love because, you know, I was a little girl and I just have this big heart and I just love everybody. And they used to sing this song, I love you, you love me, we're a happy family with a great big hug and a kiss from me to you. Won't you say you love me too? I love that song. Because I was one of those kids that just wanted to love everybody. I love animals. You might call me a tree hugger. I love to be outdoors. I just love, y'all. And that was my song. Guess what? If we go outside and sing that now, everybody's going to look at me like I'm two shades of crazy because I don't love you. I don't know you. I don't know nothing about you. How can I love you and I don't know you? I will be looked at two shades of crazy. How you love me? You don't know nothing about me. So we're going to talk about love. And yes, it is important to have the same beliefs and goals when we are building community, but it is also very important to have love. Now, love is being used in such a loose way that it seems to have lost its power. I love you, sis. I love you, bro. When you really going through, where you at? But I promise you, love is one of the greatest powers. John 13:35 in the NLT says, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Did you catch that? Not your good deeds, not your money. Your love for one another will prove to the world, not even to him, it'll prove to the world that you are my disciples. In John chapter 13, Jesus is sharing a meal with his followers. He is also demonstrating humility, servanthood, and love as he washes the feet of his disciples. Now, you ever washed somebody's feet before? It's not a pretty job. But we got the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords down on his knees with some water and scrubbing these feet. And guess what? It was sandy, it was dirty and nasty, and I'm sure they traveled long. And he's down there washing the feet of his disciples, some which didn't even fully have his back when he needed them to. That's love. So Jesus was showing us, he was giving us an example of what love looks like. Loving others is an entryway into a meaningful community. Loving others is not just a feeling, but an action. Having loved his friends, he showed us what it looks like to love until the end. We can imagine love to be an internal attitude towards another, but it is real-world observable. Whether for friends or for foe, the love of God is a commitment that goes beyond our feelings. The loving humanity and service to other people is not just a way to be so-called good person, but an entry into the kind of unity that Jesus spoke of. That's the type of love that we need to show. So, I know she went there this morning, but we're going to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we're going to talk about the whole thing. And it says, if I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. You ever heard a cymbal just clanging? Just random. If I went up there and just got a stick and started beating on them cymbals up there, y'all be like, please stop. It doesn't sound good. That's what he's saying. You don't sound good when you don't have love. If I had the gift of prophecy and I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all the knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. You can do whatever you want. You can know every language. You can understand everything. You can be smart. You go pick up that mountain and move it. Oh, that's wonderful. But guess what? You ain't got no love. You would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient. I ain't even going to make it to kind right now. Love is patient. I sat there for a minute while I was writing this and I said, I got quite a bit of patience, God, but sometimes my son, my patience is worn thin. God, I got 20 students in my class and I got a lot of patience, but sometimes my patience is thin. Love is patient. And I know sometimes for me to gain my patience back, I got to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Whew, when I turn around, they going to get it together. Now, can you imagine God's patience for us? Look, Dad, I know you want them to get this together right now. Let me just breathe. That's Jesus talking to God. I got to intercede on their behalf, but I don't know why they keep doing this crazy stuff right here. I don't know why they keep doing this crazy stuff over here. But let me just, 1, 2, 3, 4. When I turn around, they're going to get this right. Love is patient. Because even though he knew we weren't going to get it right, he still died. Love is kind. We're struggling with kindness. Even in the school system, it's hard for kids to be kind to other kids. If y'all don't know, kids are cruel. I work with 3, 4, and 5-year-olds, and you would think, oh, they so sweet. They are cruel. And they ain't just cruel to each other. They cruel to us, too. It gets real in that pre-K classroom, okay? But love is patient and love is kind, so I have to be that example for them. Little Johnny, I know you're having a bad day. So am I. Let's just take a deep breath and calm down and try again. All right. I promise y'all. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. This one got me. It is not irritable. You ever wake up and you just frustrated, irritated, everything that goes on? You try to make your cup of coffee and it spills. Oh, I'm just having a bad day. It says it's not irritable. You ever go in Walmart and the line is just too long and you ain't got time to be waiting in the it's just not working for me today. It's not irritable. And it keeps no record of being wronged. Whew, that's a hard one. Jesus, I can't remember that. But you know. No, I can't. Okay. It keeps no record of being wronged. That's deep. Because you can be wronged a lot. And you got a list. Check, 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 check. I done been wronged this way, that way. It's crazy. You can remember more ways you've been wronged than more ways than people have treated you right. Have you ever tried keeping checks of the ways that you've been treated right? It's hard. But try it. It'll bless you. Because you'll stop keeping records of those wrongs and you'll start, ooh, well, that was awesome. That was beautiful. That was great. It might change your whole day, I promise. It does not rejoice in injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. I'm going to say that again. Love never gives up. It's hard sometimes because I'm just tired and I don't want to go through this no more. I don't deal with this no more. Love never gives up. Never loses faith. Is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. You mean them youth out there killing each other? Every circumstance. You mean them kids going into schools with all them weapons? You mean when them politicians making all these random laws? You mean, yes, every circumstance. Every circumstance. Prophecy. And speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless. But love will last forever. That's the power of love that I was talking about. When everything else fades away, love is still there. Now, our knowledge is partial and incomplete. And even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. But when the time of perfection comes, the partial things will become useless. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God knows now me completely. And yes, he knows all of us completely. He knows every part of us, the ugly parts, every part of us. He knows it completely. Guess what? He still loves us. Three things will last forever. Y'all see my shirt? Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Talk about powerful. Only three things will last. Your faith, your hope, your trust in God, Now, there was a whole lot in there. A whole lot that we got to work on. Because if we be real with ourselves, ain't no way we loving like that. Because I know I lose my patience. Well, I need to work on that. Check one. I'm pretty kind, so I'm doing okay with that. I can be prideful sometimes because I don't like to ask for help. Check on that. I got to work on that. Keeping record of wrong, check on that because I got to work on that. We got a lot of work to do. All right? Love, and this is 2 John 1:6. It says, love means doing what God has commanded us to do. And he has commanded us to love one another just as you heard from the beginning. It's a command. That means it's mandatory. We have no choice. You don't get no free pass. You cannot collect $200 and go straight to go. You gotta love. You don't get a get out of jail free card. You gotta love. You have to. Jesus is both our teacher and Lord. When we love and worship him, catch this, it increases our capacity to love others. When we love and worship him, it increases our capacity to love others. When we love God more than anything, we bear his image. And he changes everything. We are imaging creatures. And when we choose to worship Jesus, we choose to love him above all else. Did y'all catch that? When we choose to worship him, we choose to love him above all else. That means everything got to go. We don't get a choice whether we worship, but we do get a choice of what we worship. We become what we love, and who we love shapes who we become. All right, I'm going to say that again. We become what we love, and who we love shapes who we become. Jesus is the only one who can carry the weight of our worship. Everyone worships, but anything other than finding meaning in Christ will eat us alive. In other words, if you choose to worship anything other than Jesus, it's going to eat you alive because he's the only one who can carry the weight of our worship. He was the one who it was created for. Only then can we begin to bear his image and become more fully human and better at showing others love. The flourishing life is found only in Christ. Only in him. All right. And I know she used this one this morning too. Matthew 22:37-40. Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Equal means the same thing. Equal. You must love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. All right? So let's talk about how we love ourselves. Do we? Do we love ourselves? Let's think about that. How do we really love ourselves? Oh, yeah, I buy myself stuff. I take myself to go get my hair and my nails done. Oh, I buy myself new clothes. I make sure I'm fly when I leave the house. Do we really love ourselves. Do we? Do we love ourselves enough to read the Word of God? Do we love ourselves enough to have a relationship with God? Do we love ourselves enough to give up the things that mean us harm? I mean, if not, we must learn to love ourselves in order to effectively love others. This means it's about to get real. We have to be real with ourselves about where we need to be in God and where we are in God. Think about how we operate when it comes to our relationship with God. And let that be the determining factor of how much you love yourself. If we truly love ourselves, then we will give our will over to God. Like I said last time, that means we got to get out of the driver's seat and we got to let him drive. And yeah, that's scary. It's scary. But if you know who your God is, it can't be that scary. He opened doors I can't see. I'm going to let you drive for me. He protects me from danger seen and unseen. I'm going to let you drive for me. Because I'm going to run wide into that wall. Because I didn't see it. It was right there. I'm going to run into it. I'm going to let him drive for me. Now we're going to go to 1 John chapter 4. And I'm going to read verses 7 through 21. It's a lot. But bear with me. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And he sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one else has ever seen God. But if we love each other, God lives in us. And his love is brought to full expression in us. And God has given us his Spirit as proof that we live in him and he in us. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes, now testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. All who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. They keep repeating that. They're trying to get us to pay attention. All who live in God, God lives in them. And we live in God. Our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Such love has no fear. But perfect love expels all fear. What you scared about? If we are afraid, if it is for fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, but hates his fellow believer, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? And he has given us this command, those who love God must also love their fellow believers. Now, I'm going to be real. Love is hard when you look at it through the natural eye. Why I got to love them? And it could be your own family. They ain't never there for me. They don't answer the phone. I could be struggling. I could be dying. They won't come see me. I don't want to deal with them. But think about it through the spiritual aspect. God knows our dirtiest secrets. And just like I said at the beginning, he loves us all the same. No matter how dirty, how bad it is, whatever you've done, he loves you just the same. Now, why is it that we can see our brothers and sisters? They sick, they dying, they killing each other, and we will be quick to turn our nose. I ain't got time for that. And we sitting here looking at him. Screams for help. I just want to be loved. I'm killing people because nobody was there for me. I'm stealing stuff because I just don't have what I need. Just walking around with no hope. And we see him every day. How can we say we love God? And we won't go up to him and say, look, I don't know what you're going through, but there's a God. I don't know what happened to you, but there's a God. I don't know who hurt you. I don't know what they did to you, but there's a God who loves you. With an everlasting love, with a love that no person on this earth can really show you, but he loves you that much. How can we say we love him when we just walk past? It could even be a person in here. They come in and they are just defeated. I ain't got time for that. How many times? How can we say we love? How can we go out there? How can we go out there and reach the community with a lack of love? Remember, God is love. Love equals God. Without it, there is nothing. How can we save a community if we have no love? It is a desperate need. It says perfect love casts out fear. The reason we're scared to go out in the community is because we haven't experienced perfect love. Perfect love casts out fear. I can't go talk to them youth. They got guns. I'm scared. I can't go in that neighborhood. I can't go talk to that person. They gonna cuss me out. Perfect love casts out fear. Where is the boldness? Because I have the love of God, because I have the power of God, I can walk up to them teens and say, yo, put that gun down. Let me tell you something. If don't nobody else say, I care about you, let me tell you something. I care. If won't nobody else listen to you, guess what? I'll listen. This ain't just kids outside of the church. Some of our babies struggling mentally, spiritually. This is real, y'all. The strongest weapon we have as a Christian is love. If we do not show love, we will not accomplish anything. It's not going to work. In order to have community, we must love. We must love and worship God. He's first. We gotta love him for real first. I know you hear people say all the time, go back to your first love. He is your first love. He created you. He is your first love. Get to him. Because the more you get to him, the more he'll get to you, and the more you can get to them. He is love. Get to God. If we don't get to him, I know sometimes y'all don't want to get up for Sunday school, but baby, if you don't get to him, if y'all think right now is bad, it's going to get worse. And we are lacking love. And people are dying because of lack of love. They walking around thinking nobody cares about me. Nobody loves me. Why should I care? Let me just blow my brains out right now because it just doesn't matter anymore. It's real, y'all. People have lost hope because they feel like nobody cares. And guess what? Since nobody cares, I don't care either. I'm going to go up in this school and shoot everybody up. There's this thing that I've learned. I went to a conference. Since becoming a teacher, I have been put in so many positions. It's crazy because I'm a new teacher. But I went to this conference, and they talk about something called conscious discipline. And it talks about how the brain works. So I want everybody to make a fist, but put your thumb inside your fist. Okay? And so there's three different brain states. The first state of the brain is like right in this area. And the question that is always asked is, am I safe? All right? So open your hand. All right, this is the second state of the brain is, am I loved? When you close it, that's your executive state. That's your highest state of your brain when you're operating at optimum potential. And it's, am I willing? You know, right now, everybody's flipping their lid because they don't feel safe and they don't feel loved. So nobody can operate in that executive because nobody loves me. And I'm not safe. So we, as a community, gotta wrap them up and say, baby, you safe. And you loved. And you're needed. And you're desired. And you have something to offer. And you are loved. You're loved so much that God sent his son to die for every wrong thing you ever done. And guess what? He don't care because he loves you. It don't matter what you've done. It don't matter where you've been. He loves you. That's our job. Or we going to still have a bunch of people flipping their lids and going crazy? Because sometimes we flipping our lids and going crazy. Let's be real. We have to love and worship God. How we think about our perfect Father in heaven informs every aspect of our lives. How we grew up can create a pattern of thinking and behaving that can distort our ability to understand and receive God's perfect love. Did y'all catch that? How we grew up can create a pattern of thinking and behaving that can distort our ability to understand and receive God's perfect love. How many of you have had things happen in your life and you just feel like, well, I just can't be loved like that. My family didn't love me like that. I just don't believe in that kind of love. How can I believe somebody who I ain't never seen gonna love me better than the people that been around me all my life? How many of you have operated like that? It becomes a pattern. Ain't nobody gonna love me like that. And then you think about, well, I done this, and I don't deserve love like that. I don't even deserve to be loved like that. It's just not going to happen for me. It just can't. It creates a pattern. It distorts your thinking. And you push off God's love because you feel like, I don't deserve that. I done too much. He not going to accept me back. Well, guess what? Yes, he will. And yes, he does. And guess what? He's standing there waiting. Like, what you waiting for? I'm ready to give you this love. I'm ready to give you what you need. I'm ready to heal you. I'm ready to deliver you. You got to stop waiting. You got to stop pushing back because what you think you don't deserve. He said everybody deserves this love. And guess what? I got it for everybody. How would you explain his countenance, God's countenance, and his interactions with you? How would you explain that? How would you describe that? What has God done for you? Let's just think about it. What has he done for you today? I got a list of things. Whew. Just today. What has he done? Now, if you think about just today, now think about how old you are. I'm 38 years old. That's a lot that God done for me. How much? What is his interaction with you? What has he done for you? How has he loved you already? How many chances has he given you already? How much has he covered you already? If you don't understand by now, you better understand that his love is perfect. We are loved radically by God. There's no other explanation for it. His love is radical because it's like nothing we've ever seen before. It's like nothing we've ever seen before. He is pleased with his kids. Before Jesus did anything, his father expressed his pleasure for his son. You remember the message he sent to John the Baptist? This is my son, of whom I'm well pleased. This is my baby. He's mine. And I'm pleased in him. How much do you think he wants to do that to us? When we really get it, them is my kids right there. Unity Worship Center, those is my kids. You see, I am well pleased. Look at the love they are showing. Don't you think he want to say that about us? He wants to be pleased with his children. He wants to be pleased with us. Don't you want that for your children? You don't want your children to go out there and act a fool, right? You want to send them out and they come back and be like, Mama, I got all A's. I got this award. I got that award. I'm on this team and I'm doing great. Ain't that what we want? Well, our Father in heaven wants the same thing for us. Lord, I went and I talked to this person. And they gave their life to you. And I just want to say thank you. And I went to this store, and guess what? I started talking about Jesus, and I talked about three people, and they said they coming to church. And I just want to thank you. That's what he wants. It's one thing to know that you're loved. It's another thing to be loved. Openness to love, the love of God, enables us to love others well. There are so many life experiences that could cause question of love in relationships. But let's draw from the simple, profound, and radical love of Jesus. How we love God and how we love people creates a meaningful existence for today and eternity. Life has no meaning without love. How we love God and how we love others creates meaningful existence to today and eternity. Who wants to walk around hating all their life? What kind of life is that? I'm just a hater. I ain't got nothing good to say. I ain't got nothing. I can't help. No, I'm just a hater. Who wants to live like that? Philippians chapter 2, verse 2. It says, then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other. There's that unity. Agreeing wholeheartedly with each other. Loving one another and working together with one mind and purpose. There's the community. It's right there. In scripture. That's what he said. But it says, make me truly happy. This is God. Make me truly happy. By agreeing wholeheartedly. What are we agreeing on? What are we agreeing with? He gave us everything we needed. Make me happy and agree because I gave it to you. And then love one another. Support one another. Be there for one another. And work together. Not the same five people that show up. Work together. Get up. Let's go. We got work to do with one mind and one purpose. We all on the same mission. Go get them. Bring them home. We got 1,050,000 prodigal sons out there. Go get them. It's time for them to come home because we tired of seeing them go the other way. Colossians 3 and 14, and I'm almost done. Beyond all these things, put on and wrap yourself in unselfish love. You remember the armor? Well, this is another piece. Beyond all these things, put on and wrap yourself in unselfish love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Unity Worship Center. Put on and wrap yourself in unselfish love, which is the perfect bond of unity. For everything is bound together in agreement when each one seeks the best for others. If I don't want the best for you and you and you and all of you, then I ain't got no love. But the reason that we come up here and we stand and we tell y'all the truth and we are transparent about where we are is because we love each and every one of you. And we need y'all to love yourself enough. We need you to love your kids enough. Because guess what? When we leave this world, who are we leaving it to? Would you really want to leave your kids in the world that's out there right now? And if not, what are you doing to change it? What are you doing to change it? Are you just sitting there watching the news like, that's a shame. Another one. That's a shame, Lord. Faith without works is dead. He didn't put us here to sit back and watch. He put us here to go to war. To go reach the masses. It's time to go to work. If we want to build community, we must operate completely in love. We must show the love of Christ as we witness to those who are lost. It was love that covered our sins. It will be love that cancels all the negativity. But if we don't have love, we have nothing. If we be real, it was love that drew us to Jesus initially. It's going to take love to draw the community to him. That means we can no longer operate in fear. We must be bold and courageous and witness, no matter what it looks like. No matter what it looks like. Love is going to be the thing that changes the game when it comes to Unity Worship Center. When we really love ourselves and we really love him, that's when we can go out and bring them in. It's going to take love. And perfect love casts out fear. It's a lot of fear right now. It's a lot of anxiety. Because what's going to happen to me when I go in that neighborhood? What's going to happen to me when I step to them kids that got them weapons? What's going to happen to me? You so worried about that. But you forgot, we have a Savior. We have a covering. And if we really stand on him, we have nothing to fear. The weapons can form, but they will not prosper. Why did he make that promise? We're going to have to face the weapons. But like Larissa said this morning, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. We are fighting against spiritual wickedness in high places. We fight against spirits, not people. When them people get the love that they need, you're going to see them spirits dissipate. Submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We go out there and witness, and they start submitting. Guess what? It flees. But because we ain't going out there witnessing, ain't nobody submitting, and therefore there's no fleeing. And there's no resisting, because we the ones resisting. What we gonna do, Unity? How we gonna go get this community? Where's the love? Where's the love? Remember my song? I love you. You love me. We're best friends like friends should be. With a great big hug and a kiss from me to you. Won't you say you love me too? Now think of Jesus singing that to us. I love you because I died for you. And all I want you to do is you to love me. We're a happy family because there's love. And he wants to just give us a great big hug. Won't you say you love me too? That's the question he's asking. Won't you tell me you love me too? Won't you show me you love me too? Because when you start showing me that, that's when we can start showing them that. Sacrifice. Show up for Sunday school. Show up for Bible study. Show up for women's meeting, men's meeting. Show up. Get your kids to church. Get your neighbors to church. Get your family to church. I promise you, you start operating in love and an unselfish love. I don't care what they did to me, but I'm going to call them and I'm going to tell you, I love you. You will never know what that might do to somebody you ain't talked to in years. I ain't talked to you in 50 years. But guess what? I love you. I want what's best for you. And God loves you too. And hang up. That person gonna look at that phone like, did they just say? But you never know what that'll do for somebody. You ain't talked to a friend in a long time, call them. You know what? I love you. That's all I called to say. I love you. God loves you. And I'm praying all the best for you. Talk to you later. That person gonna, did that? You never know what that's going to do for somebody. I'm going to tell y'all this and then I'm done. There's a little boy in my class. And this little boy is a tough kid. He ain't never been to school before. It's just him and his mom. So at home, he does whatever he wants to do. Guess what? He come to school and think he can do whatever he wants to do. And he tries to run that class, I'm telling y'all. So every morning, before he enters my class, I stand at the door. And I say, good morning. And he says, hi, Miss Nikki. And I say, we don't have a great day today, right? And I know in the back of my mind, in about 5 minutes, that's out the window. And I tell him every day, I love you, and I want the best for you. And after he done tore up my classroom, at the very end of the day, he's getting ready to leave to get on the bus. He comes to me, he says, Miss Nikki, I say, yes, baby, I love you. Regardless of all the things that he done through today. And how tired Miss Nikki is. After she done with him, climbing on tables and throwing toys and stuff. I give him a hug and I say, I love you too, baby. Tomorrow we're going to have a better day. And every day he comes to school, there's some days he does a little bit better. There's some days he does a little bit worse. But I do not miss the fact that I'm letting him know you are loved and you are safe. And I know whatever's going through that little head of yours, we're going to get to the bottom of it by the end of this year. But he knows I'm loved. 9 times out of 10, my kids that come in and act like that, they do it because they feel safe. This is the safest place for me to act a fool and just let somebody know it's something going on in my life. And I'm safe enough to where I'm going to show you my crazy. And I know I ain't going to be hurt. Think about that. Where is your safety? Where is it found? And if it's not in Jesus, I offer him to you today. Because whether you feel safe or loved, he can provide it all. So if anyone needs to get to Jesus or get back to him, this is your opportunity. I offer you love today. If you've been looking for love in all the wrong places, you can stop today. Because love is found in him. And he has enough for everyone. And he doesn't care. He's not going to judge you. He's not going to count anything against you. But he just wants you. And if no one wants to give their life to God, I want to tell